Good evening. Oh, that was loud. How good is that? We're going to open up in a word of prayer. Hey, God, we just thank you for being here tonight. We thank you for the day that has been, that we can put aside a few hours to come spend it with some friends and to spend it with you. Continue to talk to us. Continue to be with us. Continue to inspire us. And continue to challenge us. Lord, let us have open hearts and open ears to you tonight. We just pray these things in your name. Amen. So the last 2 weeks, Andy has been talking about stewardship, and we're in the middle of a stewardship campaign. We did it in the morning church, and we even did it a week in Messy Church last week as well. So it's something important that we like to talk about every now and again at church. And so we wrap up our series here tonight in the evening service. And it has been a real good time that God has spoken to a lot of people throughout the last 3 weeks in different ways, and especially throughout the whole church as well. And so we only talked about for the first 2 weeks about how we are blessed and how God has given us and everything is God's and we are stewards of that. And if you wanted to still have an idea of what stewardship is or being a steward something, there's another little example here about it. So say if the Carsons invented a wonderful baby feeding machine and made $50 billion out of it, exactly well, and they said, Chris, here you go. They bought a big mansion in Lilydale, because they live in Lilydale, it's all good. So they bought a big mansion in Lilydale. They said, okay, now, but we have to go overseas. We have to go overseas for a whole year. We have to get you to look after our house for you. Now, not only do I get to look after the house, but here is my line of credit, and here is Matt Carson's personal credit card. And so here I am to look after his house for a year, and the only condition is basically that I look after it. And I can do anything with it. I can have as many gatherings as I want. I can have as many parties as I want. I can do anything with it as long as I look after it. I can spend money using his credit card to either maintain the house. I can even spend money on myself to gain my skills to look after the house. And so that is what stewardship is like, is that God has given us everything on this earth. God has given us all the gifts and skills that we have to serve him. And so, utilizing other crosses there. Okay, the theological dictionary says as, utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of his creation. And Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So we are God's. And everything we have, everything we do, all the gifts that we have is basically God's. And we're stewards of it. We get to look after that. And what a great job that is. As owning Matt's house or living in Matt's house for a year, and Phoebe's house and Chloe's house, that I could do anything with that. I could throw as many parties as I like in there. I could wreck it. I could throw it. I could do whatever I want in there. And same that God gives us, the same with this world. And God gives us the same with the gifts that gives us too. We can said to us that we can do anything we want with it. We are stewards of all things that God give us. And tonight I want to talk about what we are to do next with that. Now, if you have been in the church for a long time, you might hear the word stewardship and think, oh, we're just collecting money. Or we're just getting more people to serve in different ways. But if that's the case, then you are missing some very important points. And so I want to talk about how some misconceptions about stewardship. But first, a little story from when I was younger. When I was younger, I grew up in a church family. My parents took me to church. I was fortunate enough, and then believing in God from a very young age. And when I was about grade 3 or 4, there was a time when a week leading up to a spelling test. And I didn't know. I couldn't know how to spell. I still don't know how to spell. Spell check is great for me, although sometimes it does miss words as well. But spell check is great for me. And so I had a spelling test in grade 3 or grade 4, and I thought, oh, how can I pass this? Rather than study, I thought I could pray. God's like that. I can do that. And not only that, I thought, Sunday's coming up. I can actually give money to you in the offering, and God is going to give me the words or how to spell the words in my head. And so Sunday came along, I saved up $5 from my pocket money, and I grateful when the bag came along, I pulled it out, I put it in there, I thought, God, you're going to bless me with spelling words this week, and I'm going to be great. And so, lo and behold, the week came about, guess what happened in my spelling test? I failed. Not only failed, I failed dismally. I forgave study just to put the money in there, and I think I got about 2 out of 10 for that week, and my parents weren't too happy with me. But that's another story. And so the week came after. And so Sunday came about, and I thought, oh, curse you, God. You didn't do that sort of thing. So I want my money back. So the bag came out again. I thought, I'm going to get my $5 back. So I put my hand in there to get my $5 back, and I was sitting next to my mum, and she gave me a bit of smack on the hand. And I learned my lesson the hard way that day. But sometimes we think that that's what God's like. That if we're going to pray or going to give God money or put more offering in there, that we're going to get blessed back even more. And that's what prosperity gospel is about. Sometimes you might have heard that the more you give, the more you get back. The less you give, the less you're going to get blessed. But that's not right. God doesn't think of it that way. There are a lot of times in different people's lives where people get what they're given, but also, look at the leaders out there. Look at Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un. They get so much, but are they godly people? I don't think so. I don't think they've given just because they've got lots of money that things have come their way. And there are lots of other people in the world as well that give so much but have so little and keep on giving not because of wealth and not because of anything, but because they are. And so even in the Bible it says, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has poured onto our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. So even in the Bible it says that we're going to suffer. We're going to have bad times. We're going to have things that are bad to us. Jesus said it himself. I've told you all this, that you will have peace of heart and mind here on earth. You'll have many trials and sorrows. But cheer up, for I have overcome the world. So life is life. Life doesn't get easier because you give more money or you pray harder or anything like that. You're still going to have trials and sufferings. But God is going to be with you all those times. God is going to step with you and walk with you and journey with you and help you along those times. But not because you've given money. Or not because you've served more. Because he loves you. And he walks beside you. See, we don't live in a karma world. Sometimes we think that. Even I get sucked in every now and again to think, oh, if I just pray harder here, I give more money here, yeah, something's going to come my way. I'm going to enter a competition and pray about it and things are going to win me back and I'm going to win this competition. Sometimes I think about that. But it's not an easy trap to get sucked into because that's how the world works. The world often thinks if you give something, you're going to get something in return. But let's think about that for a second. What has God given us? God has given us his son to die on that cross, the thing that we see each night when we come here. What was the John 3:16? Oh, it's the next one. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave his son for us. Not because we deserved it, not because we needed it, not because he expected anything in return. God loves us so, so much that he gave his son. And so if that's the only message you hear out of the stewardship campaign, rather than giving back to the church, that God gives you stuff, that God loves you, that he gives you, then that's great in itself. Because we need to hear that every now and again. That God so loves me that he sent his only son for me. Another thing about giving and stewardship is that you shouldn't feel guilty to give. Now, I will shut that video now. Yeah, it's up there.
Yes, I'm old.
Sometimes stewardship is like that. Have you ever felt in a service where the money bag's gone around and the people next to you has put money into it, and then all of a sudden you feel, oh, should I have to? Do I need to do this now? What do I do if I feel bad? Is this the person next to me going to feel bad because I didn't put any money in there, or what the thing? Or you've been to one of those big churches and they have one of those big spiels about money that makes you feel guilty that you want to give. It's not like that. I've just recently, just before the school holidays came, I came across this, a student came into my office at school. And the girl suffers from a bit of anxiety for the best of times, so she comes to our office very frequently. And this time what had got her worked up was the fact that she'd got invited to a party that she really wanted to go to, but she felt like she couldn't go because she couldn't afford a gift to give to the person. And I had to sit there and I said, look, you know, I knew the girl that was throwing the party, and she was a pretty humble person herself. And the reason why she invited this girl was not to get a gift, not to get anything in return from her, but because she enjoyed her company and wanted her to come to the party. So I had to sit down and explain to this girl and say, hey, look, you know, she doesn't want anything in return. She doesn't bother if you don't buy her gifts. She bothers if you don't turn up. She wants you to come along to this party. And it took a bit of time and convincing, but she got there in the end. We said, look, if you threw a party, dude, it didn't matter how many gifts you got. Wouldn't you rather have all your friends there than just having the gifts there? And she said, yeah, that's right there. And so it's the same with God. God is not into just wanting the gifts that we have or wanting us to give money. He prefers our heart. He prefers everything that we have inside of us. That's what God wants. It's more like this. I've got another video here.
What do you mean by suggested donation?
Pay any amount you wish, sir.
And what if I wish to pay zero?
It's up to you.
Ooh, so it's up to me, is it?
Yes.
I see. And you think that people are going to pay you $4.50 even though they don't have to, just out of the goodness of their... Well, anything you say. Good luck, lady. You're going to need it.
Mr. Bergstrom.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, you don't have to pay. Read your sign.
And this must be your father.
So you say God gives us first. So we don't have to feel guilty about what God, if we have to give to God. Have a look at this next verse. It says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart. Not reluctantly, not under compassion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We don't have to feel guilty about it. We shouldn't have to feel guilty about it. There was another story in the New Testament where Jesus gathered his disciples around, and you know it's at the temples, and they're collecting money, and people are collecting money, and it's from Mark 12, 41 to 44. And Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were being watched, and the crowd put their money into the temple's treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more in the treasury than all others. They have given out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything she had all to live on. See, here, giving is not about how much we give, or how it is about how and why we give. Jesus singles out this poor lady out of all the people that were giving that day. And is that compromise, he says, this woman should be lifted up. See, Jesus points out that the tradition of the day was people would come in and they would walk up and they would put their money in. And it'd be like a bit of a social status for them. Sometimes there was even tradition where they get dressed up. They would have all their wads of cash. Well, not wads of cash back then. It was like bags of coins, whatever it was. They would put it in there. They'd make a loud noise and they'd walk away. And you can imagine, in the midst of all that happening, this little old lady getting out a little purse, not purse again, bag of coins or anything like that, and putting them as much as she could in there and walking away. Head probably downcast, not looking at anything else. Yet Jesus singles her out and said, look what this woman has done. Look at her heart. Look at the way she is given. She wants to see things happen. See, again, God doesn't care about how much you give. He cares about your heart and what you do with that. So how we respond? Why do we give and why do we serve? Again, God loves a cheerful giver. See, a few years ago, one of my kids went to one of those family, Father's Day stores. And in the morning, I gave my kid $5 out of my money, and she, because she's here now, I can talk about that. I gave her $5, and she went away, and she got a present for me. And it was a sports top, and it was a great sports top, but it was size medium. I haven't been a medium since 1995, I don't think, and so it didn't really fit me. But did I care? Did I love her any less because she gave me this top that didn't fit me? No, in fact, I kept on to that top. I still got it as a reminder because she thought of what she wanted to give me. She thought about, hey, Chris plays sport every Wednesday night. He plays in a black top. This would be good for him. And so it wasn't a fact that it was a fact that she thought about the gift. And she thought about the present. See, I couldn't love Beth any more than I do now. As you look at it. But because of what she did for me and the thought she put behind it, made me feel special that day. It is the same when we serve and give offerings to God. God, whatever we do can't make God love us any more than he does. He really loves us so much. But God loves a cheerful giver. He does it with a smile on his face. He looks down and says, hey, this is why I love Chris. This is also because he did. Because look at the way he's serving others. And when it says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever gives sows generously will also reap generously. It's not talking about us there. It's about all of us. When we give and serve, it's about all of us gaining it. Because if we look for personal gain, we're not going to get anything. But if we look for corporate gain, then that's when we live and survive and thrive. See, how good is it when we give a gift to someone and we see the joy on their face? It's great. It makes us feel good. That's how God says when we use the gifts that we use, that we have got. See, when we are called and challenged with this stewardship, it's about what we do with these gifts that we've got. Whether it be singing, whether it be like carpentry, whether it be like speaking, whether it be like any of the gifts that we have been given. And we have all been given so many gifts. Some of us, we know what our gifts are. And some of us, we're just exploring what their gifts are. And if you don't know what any of your gifts are, come and have a conversation with me. Have a conversation with your leaders. Have a conversation with Matt. Have a conversation with Josh, Helen, D-Mac. We'll be able to tell you what your gifts are. And we'll be able to help you explore some of the gifts that God is building in you now. But when you use those gifts, that's where God lights up. And the other thing is God has given us gifts that we use to get our jobs, that we work outside as well, so we can get an income as well. See, the goal for every single one of us is to be faithful stewards of the things that God has given us, whether they be the gifts or whether they be the money that we have got. God wants our heart more than anything else. And as I said, if you get anything out of this message, apart from God loves you and gives you all the gifts, that's fine. But once we have got to that point, we should be thinking about what do we do with the gifts that God has given us. Something out of Matt Carson's sermon not too long ago, or probably a couple of years ago. Stewardship is not what we have to do. Stewardship is something we get to do. It's something that we are privileged to do. We have to give something back to the God that gives us everything. Because he loves us so much. Because he's given us so much. Because they are things of his. We get called to give things back to him. As I said, just as we love giving our friends presents at birthdays and Christmas and seeing the joy and love on their face when they do that. And it shows to them how much they mean to us. We get to do that for God as well at the same time. And we are calling you to think about what you give in our church or just to the wider church as well. How you use the gifts that God has given you. How you use the money that God has entrusted with you. And just a couple of things that we want you to think about within this church in particular is that these things come out every now and again. This one here is our bank details. So if you want to direct them, there's a reason why we don't put the bags out every week. And that's because we don't want to feel like they're guilty and giving money. Now, we will look at, in the next couple of months, look at how we do that within this church and within the evening service. But at the moment, we know that it's a bit confronting for some people. So on this little slip, and we know that most people of your generation, not mine because you're a lot younger than me, but your generation don't carry cash much anymore. So we've got the little slip with the bank details on there. And so you can direct give whenever you want to. You can keep it in your wallet. And if you've got an extra money or you think, oh, God, I really feel called to give some money to the church, then you can put that little slip. You can look at the bank details there. And on this one, it has got different ways to serve it. So if you haven't been serving for a while or you want to challenge the way that you have been served within the church, tick one of these boxes. Now, this is from a few years ago. So it has got some multimedia and preaching, mainly to do with the evening service, but it's got a box for others. So if you do want to use the things like for carpentry and helping out the 31 Wangaroa team, they'll love to have you there. Or be part of the property team, committee or be part of the church council, as Jacob has been saying. And on the back of some of these, it has got a prayer request. So if you do want prayer in anything in particular, if you've come tonight with a heavy burden of something else and you think, well, I haven't been able to concentrate on anything Chris has been saying because this has been on my heart, then put that down as well. But I'm going to get to DMAC to pass one on, go from there. Same with that one there. And so as we conclude this series in stewardship, we spent the last 3 weeks on it. As I said, the first 2 weeks of Andy's was all about how God has given us stuff. And God has given us so many things. And we should first look at that. And how God has blessed us within this church. And then about how are we to respond to that? Are we to continue to give more, serve more? We should be asking this question of ourselves fairly regularly. Every couple of months we should be saying, okay, am I using the gifts that God has given us? So I'm just going to close in prayer now. And we'll go from there. Firstly, God, we just want to thank you. We want to thank and praise you, firstly, for dying on that cross for us. As it says in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son for us. And Lord, as we focus the last 3 weeks on stewardship and what are we to do with your world and your gifts that you give us, challenge us on how we can give them back to you, how we can serve you. Well, we don't do it because we think we're going to get anything in return. We don't do it because it's guilt or feel compelled to do it. Lord, we do it because we love you and challenge us to see what we can do this week. And we just pray these things in your name. Amen.